Good morning, everybody. Isn't it a great day today? Amen. Man, I looked at some of you. You've been praying and fasting. It's evident. You can see it on your countenance. And I can't wait to hear your stories. I'll talk to you about that in a moment today. Let's welcome our first-time guest. Give him a big, big hand. Come back second time. It'd be an honor to shake your hand. We'll be either here or there at the Welcome Center. And just let us know that you're here. And first time again, you probably passed like 20 churches. I know you passed Church's Fried Chicken because it's right down the street. So you came to our church, amen, and we thank God for it, and we're blessed. You're our honored guest today. Would you check in today on your social media devices? There's plenty of time to do that. You can go to Facebook. I beat you. I got here first service, and I was able to do that. If you check in, I'll usually like it if I can find it, you know, the algorithms that they have nowadays. But if you take a selfie, that's even better, and we'd love that. And you smile and all happy, amen. And the second thought is this. I think the slide thing is going to come up shortly in the name of Jesus. It's working right, everybody. We're praying and fasting for 21 days. And the prayer and fast, everyone has a story that entered into the 21 days of prayer and fasting. I would love to hear about it. And there are stories that you can share. Today, Leonard Ziegler can give you information on how he can film you with one of our cameras. Or you can even film yourself nowadays. You do that, right? Go Facebook Live or whatever. You don't need to, but film yourself maybe in your automobile and tell me your story. We'll put it into our announcements, or we'll do something of clips for the 21 days. Some of you are ending your fast because maybe you began on the 6th instead of the 1st, and that's okay too. Maybe you haven't fasted. You can start today and realize the miracle that fasting can do. We want to hear the stories that you have of faith that you've had. Amen. And so we're Living Faith Church, faith that you can see as we gather, grow, and what?
Go.
Amen. Let's welcome live the Facebook Live audience right now. So glad that you are joining us, and we're honored that you'll be with us during the time of Word now, and we pray that your home is blessed as you've came to our church today via Facebook. We're blessed today. Do you have your message notes handy? If you don't, raise your hand high, and they'll give them to you. Amen. We got one man. You'll need them. Amen. You have them. Amen. Show them to me. Wave them. Amen. There you are. You got one. Don't lie in church. Amen. There they are. Good. You got them. Good. You got them. Amen. Everybody in this room needs to take the next step in some sort of way or fashion. And we talked about it, the 21-day fast, on how if things continue this route, without maybe God intervening in our life, the intervention that God needs to have, that what will happen? And so we talked about changing the ending. And so for 3 weeks now, we've been talking about that God can change the ending if He gets involved. A better marriage, a better home, being free from an addiction. If God doesn't intervene on that habit that we have, how is life going to end up? And so we need God's intervention so we can change the ending. The man in the Bible that brought his son to Jesus that was demon-possessed, his son was going to keep having seizures. The demons were still going to try to take him into the fire and drown him. A terrible scene. And Jesus said this only comes out by prayer and fasting. Yeah, I took him to your disciples and they couldn't cast him out. And I recognize right there that they're, when we go to other levels, there's new devils.
That's right.
And so you got to fight differently than you would the small devil that you faced in 1969. Do you recognize that today? And you may be going to a different level that God just saying, you know what, you got a war 21 days now. Enter a new level in hunger for me. And hunger, let hunger pains hit you in the gut, but let them remind you that you're hungering for me. And your family gets saved and your legacy endures today. And so 21 days, we're going to end it this week on Wednesday, I believe, early in the week if you've done the 21 days. And it's been something beautiful that we've had in our lives today. And so the jobs that we have as shepherds that Irma and I have are really not to push you, but to lead you and say, hey, here's the green wall, here's the green pastures, and here's the water that's still. And we want to lead you this way. And we don't shove you, but we do guide you. In 21 days, we've been agreeing with you that your prayers are answered, that the hand of God's upon your family for your health and your wholeness today. And so today we talk about changing the time. Stephen Covey, a wise man, said this: if we keep doing the same thing that we're doing, we're going to keep getting what we've been getting.
Right.
What's the definition of insanity? Doing the same thing over and over and expecting different results. You're going to keep doing what you're doing today. Some of us, not in this church, but we're going to talk about the church down the street. Let's gossip, amen? We have such high hopes, but we have low habits. And so you need high habits so you can get the high hopes. And we're not going to have them come about. Are y'all hearing me this morning? And that's what 21 days of prayer and fasting does. It gives us the habit of denying our flesh and doing something that God wants. The non-God that we're doing God. Amen? And so that's how we break through today. The central message of Jesus was always this: come follow me and leave that behind. That was what it was all about. And we leave the world behind and we follow Christ today. We disconnect from the world and we follow Jesus. And so more of Jesus, less of me, right? Right. It's time for the presence of God in our lives today. And in a moment, the screen is going to show Romans chapter 13. But until it catches up, I want you to read it with me, okay? I want you to hear the word of the Lord. And if you want to go to it in your devices, you have your Bible, you can turn to Romans chapter 13. I'm going to read the Message Bible translation, which is a great translation. It's a great devotion today. And it's saying this: but make sure that you don't get exhausting by taking care of the day-to-day obligations. Lose track of time and doze off, oblivious to God. The night is almost over and the dawn is about to break. Be up and awake to what God is doing. God is putting the finishing touches on the salvation work that He began when you first believed. Somebody say, when we first believed. See, we get saved, and God doesn't want you just to stay at that point of salvation and get the fire insurance. When they told me that I was going to go to hell, not unless I received Jesus, you know what I did? I got saved. I was smart. And if I took a poll right now and said, how many want to go to heaven when you die? 100%. How many want to go to hell when you die? I don't think anybody, not unless they need medication, would raise their hand, right? Everybody wants to go to heaven. But thank God it doesn't stop there, because if that was the point of just salvation, you would have got, Jesus would have shot you dead right when you got saved and confessed all your sins. He wanted you to walk out this thing and He wanted you to graduate. But it's, Pastor, it's so hard. I keep falling back into the habit. I keep doing the thing I don't want to do. Well, you're right in there with the Apostle Paul, because he said, oh, wretched man, the things I want to do, I don't do. I want to go to church on Sunday and sometimes I don't make it. I want to get to church on time. I'm not looking at anybody. I'm looking at the clock. We don't make it. I want to let that go. And that habit keeps coming back. And I'm glad that you're here. You know, if the disciples did it, if the disciples followed Jesus and they were thieves, they blasphemed at times, they cussed, they went back to their wayward ways, and they named churches after them. St. Matthew, amen. The Cathedral of Paul, or whatever it might be, St. Peter's Basilica. If those guys made it as rough as they were and as motley crew as they were, I think you can make it, because you're in church on Sunday morning. In other words, you have the goods to walk out the things that God's assigned you to do, to live for Him. And if necessary, like they did, they died for Him. I don't think anybody's going to die for Christ like they do in other countries, because we're so blessed in this country. And maybe that's why we don't do the things that we're supposed to do. But I do know this: we have life before us, and God has given you the Holy Spirit and the power to do life with Him today. Amen. And to leave the old things behind. As I continue, it says, we can't afford to waste a minute. In Romans chapter 13, we must not squander this precious daylight. In other words, if you keep doing what you're doing in 2019, you're going to have the same results, so you got to do something different. Hours of frivolity and indulgence, sleeping around and bickering and grabbing everything in sight. Get out of bed and get dressed. Wow, that's preaching, isn't it? Amen? Don't loiter, linger, waiting for the last moment. Dress yourself in Christ. Be up and about. In other words, we're called to be wide awake today in what God is doing, amen, and do what God's doing today, amen. What would your life look like if God was in every part of your mind, your body, in your schedule, in your finances? What would your life look like at the end of 2020 if He got really involved, if you submitted, if He became the king of your heart, if you took yourself off the throne And Jesus became the center of our lives as we prioritized our schedules, did our finances according to what we should do according to Him, and lived intentionally. There's a moment that we all have that we chose to follow Jesus. Not only the t-shirt, no turning back that we bought, but we turned back on what we used to do and we followed Jesus. Do you remember that moment? Sometimes it's daily for some of us. Sometimes it's a season. But I remember the moment when I said, Lord, I'm going to follow you the rest of my life. I was like 16 years old at the Victory Outreach, Victory Temple. Now it's called Metanoia Church on Buena Vista Street. And I knelt before a holy God because they were doing a conference. They said, all those that want to be in ministry for the rest of your life and just want to forsake all the things of this world, would you come right now and kneel? And I said, that's me. I wouldn't do anything else but do that. And I wasn't even married back then. Of course, I was 16, right? Didn't have really a good job. I had a Pinto that was yellow, that the Pintos were the Ford Pintos that if you did hit them in the back, they would blow up. 2020 did a whole deal on them. I was driving a time bomb, ma'am. I didn't even know it, right? But God still was faithful to me. God was good to me. And there's those moments that we have that I still have in season after season, usually after 21 days of prayer and fasting, that God, I'm not going to go back to what I used to do. I'm going to have more of Jesus. Amen. Set a fire in me, God, that won't be extinguished. Right, everybody? And so if we really follow Jesus, burn the ship. Because you can't go back. Amen. The car keys, throw them down into the field. You can't find them. You got to keep following Jesus, right? And that's where we go today. Amen. Lose the keys. No turning back. No turning back. I want you to have those moments. In order for you to have that moment, you're going to need to do a couple of things for me. And they're found in your handout. Do you have your handout with you? Here they go right now. It's time to take control of my schedule. And that's a big one. If life is a mess, life is usually unbalanced. And it becomes with our time today. We're grabbing it all. And we're trying to grab too much of life and you're not grabbing anything of God of pursuing Him today. Amen. You grab too much and it comes back and bites you. In Ecclesiastics, a wise person said, 4:6, better is one handful of tranquility. Oh, that brings peace to me. I can sleep at night. Amen. But look at this. The foolish person, then two handfuls of toil and chasing the wind. It escapes you. And the result isn't good. How do you organize your day? I just want to ask you that. Well, you know, we get the kids and we, you know, or I'm just getting up. I want you to schedule your priorities. The things that are, you always make time for what's most important to you. Because you love people. You love God today. Amen. And so it's a new year. And you stand at a crossroads. And you can begin godly habits today. There are timeless principles that we learn from ancient past, the Bible says, that we walk in and they bring us life. If we don't choose those ancient paths to go down, then we're going to be foolish and we're going to grab too much of life. And God says, simplify your life. And that's what 21 days of prayer and fasting does. It puts away all the things for 21 days and it simplifies your life today. And so before you wake up in the morning, as you wake up in the morning, thank God the cell phone now wakes us up. But instead of going to the cell phone, why don't you put it down? Before you turn on the television, why don't you not turn it on? Before you drink the cup of coffee, oh, did I say that? In the name of Jesus, you bind that, right? Got to have that coffee, right? Maybe while you do the coffee, you give God the first. Amen. The best, right, everybody? And so the slide that's not in your note, it says the first 15. This is nothing new. We've done this before as a church. Why not, before you turn on the cell and you scroll on Facebook or you do anything else, but you give God 5 minutes in the Word. That's maybe a verse that you're pondering or a passage. And then you give 5 minutes of worship. You're singing in the shower maybe. I don't know. But nobody else is hearing you because you don't have a good voice like Chuck and Katrina. Give me a good amen. And thank God they can't hear you, but you're worshiping God with a song that you're maybe hearing. And then you're 5 minutes in prayer, thanksgiving request. Thank you, Lord. I'm singing a song to you, amen, whatever it might be. But you're giving God the first 15 minutes, and you'll see how your schedule. You ever notice when you give God time, how He blesses you with more time? Honestly, you're looking at me kind of weird, amen, but that's okay. This means you start small, which is 15 minutes. You can do more. I remember back in the day, growing up in that church that would beat you into heaven every Sunday morning with their sermon. Oh, please let me get saved, Pastor, because I don't want to go to hell. It would be every sermon I would get saved. That's how rough the church was. They would say, you better spend an hour. Now we dumbed it down to 15 minutes. Can we do at least 15 minutes before God and grow in that? You'll see, you'll be addicted to Jesus and you'll get stronger and stronger. Give God something. You start small, but start now. Hit your neighbor and say, start small, but start now. How about the second choice? Amen. Second person that you don't want to talk to. Amen. Turn to that person and say, hey, you need to start small, but start now. Amen. The second thought right there in your handout. Why don't you say this with me? Here you go. It's time to rethink what I allow to enter my mind and body. In other words, regulate it today. We got to be careful and consider how much of the worldly world that we have coming into our lives on a daily basis and not even go unchecked. Not even say, God, dishonor you. Are y'all hearing me today? Amen. Imagine Jesus, really, Jesus 2,000 years ago. You're now to Jesus. He's going to walk in that white robe that he's always walking. You see him in the Jesus movies. But Jesus is with you 24/7. He's with you in the car. He's with you when you sleep. He's sleeping in the other bed right next to you, the bunk bed on, I don't know. But Jesus is with you at your workplace. Jesus is with you on the weekends. He's with you on Friday. Jesus is with you on Saturday. He's with you in your home while you're cooking. He's with you as you're cleaning. Jesus is with you. Everywhere. Imagine Jesus being with you. That means Jesus would see everything that you've done. Wow. He would see me doing that drug. He would see me drinking. He would see me watching that movie. He would see me arguing. He would see me cursing. He would see me doing the one-handed peace sign. He would see me doing all that. He would see you doing good things, right? Yeah. Yeah. But he would see you and you know what? Well, thank God he didn't see me, because that was 2,000 years ago. He was with those disciples. But you know what? He left something better. Oh, yeah. It's called the Holy Spirit. Amen. And you're going to even do greater works because of the Holy Spirit, the Bible says. Amen. And amen. But yeah, I'd love for you to clap, but listen up. Before you clap, listen. Amen. Because the Holy Spirit's with you 24/7, we're kind of like what Sister was doing over here on this row. Oh, me. Oh, my. And I don't want to leave you hopeless, because I got convicted. See, in all these points that I'm giving you at the very beginning, that you need more of Jesus, less of me. That God needs to set a fire literally in my life to extinguish all this stuff. And so there's hope. The God order is coming. The kingdom of God is coming to your life at this moment. The Holy Spirit is driving up into your driveway right now. And it's saying, you can do this thing. You can put me first in life today. We're all at different levels, but there's nothing like the life of God within you today. Amen? Amen. And we ought to clap for that. Amen? And so 1 Corinthians speaks directly at that. 10:23. I have the right to do anything. Yeah, it's a trendy thing. Everybody's doing that. Everybody has a Netflix account. I borrowed my friend's and his name. You know, I'm doing it illegal, but everybody's doing that. But you say, but not everything is beneficial. I have the right to do anything, but is everything what? Beneficial. Now, it's legal in some states, but it's not good for you. I'm over 21. It's legal in some states, but it's not always good for you. That's what it's saying. Amen. And so if it's not good for you, why are you doing it? So maybe it's time for an accountability partner. Maybe it's time that somebody knows your secret. Not everybody, but somebody knows your secret. Maybe it's time to put the filter on the cell phone and the computer. Maybe it's time to tell somebody how much alcohol you're drinking. Maybe it's time. because of what you're putting into your body and mind today. Psalms said that you have this, we have this thing, propensity to drift towards evil. We drift away from God, away from what He wants. And God just saying, put me at the center of your life again for these 21 days. Put the brakes on what is killing you and killing your purpose in life today. And live for the Lord today. The life of God is in your life right now, that you can do it today. The third principle is this. It's time to organize my finances around. Somebody say this. Give. Save. And live. You organize, and just organizing your finances would be a big deal. Because of the way that you're living today. And you organize your finances according to giving, saving, and living. And that's godly. We're giving God our first. And we're giving Him the very best today. You follow God's way, and it's always this way, in His Word, give, save, and live today. I was around a journal table, my small group, and I'm not going to tell you who it was because that's private information, but I got a good story to tell. Give me a good amen. And the story was, Pastor, I can't really afford to tithe. And around the circle were people that were real wise. These were people that had paid off their homes, some of them. They paid off their automobiles. They were really out of debt. And I think that's pretty wise, don't you? Amen. Debt-free living is also wisdom living. And so they spoke into that. And one of the ladies that was with us that has paid off and is not debt-free, but I know she's paid off her house because I know them well enough. She spoke into the situation. And she said with all of her heart, she said, years ago, 40 years ago or whatever it was, I was with two children, single parent mom. My husband had divorced me and left me. And we were going to church. And I would serve the Lord by giving them my talent, which was to clean. I was younger. She said, I would clean the church. And I'd clean it. And then when the offering came around, the tithe and offering time, I wasn't able to tithe because I had to feed two babies. And she said, I gave what I gave. I gave what I could, but I gave God something. In other words, I started small, but I started now. Amen. And she says, now, you know, she tithes. She's a full-on giver. But she had to start. In other words, give God something. Amen. Amen. A disciple is full-on. Matthew, John, James, Judas didn't because he chickened, you know, he betrayed. Even doubting Thomas, they gave everything. They died at the very end. It didn't end well for them on this earth. And if you're a true disciple, you're not only going to give your time, you're going to give your talent, and you're going to also give your finances. You're going to give your treasure. Oh, the church needs money? Hey, we're doing okay. You know, because of your generosity, this week, the legacy offering will go forth. It'll be distributed. And I'll probably talk about it a little bit better next week. But you gave $2,700, I believe, Dennis, if I'm not doing the math wrong. So that's $900 that's going to Life Restored Church. That's a 24/7 church right by Habitat for Humanity. And they reach out to the homeless 24/7. They never go to sleep. The pastor there, Alex Fleming, they need the finances to do the work of God. They have a building that's probably smaller than our student center. And when it's cold outside, they open up the doors and they have volunteers and they let people, because some of the people don't always want to go to Habitat for Humanity because of the way that they live. But they open the doors and their motto is never homeless. And so $900 is going there because of your generosity. Amen. $900 is going towards a church plant. Pastor Randy Henson, Life Church, New Braunfels, they're doing their first Sunday today at the Courtyard Marriott in New Braunfels. They came out of a great church in Angleton, Texas, suburb of Houston. And that guy is going to plant a great church. We did the research. He's not a young man, but he's young. He and his wife took a team of people from Houston and they transferred themselves to that beautiful community of New Braunfels, which is exploding. Amen. And you sowed into them $900 because we split it three ways. Finally, world missions. As you know, Australia has been literally on fire in the wildfire. We're sowing $900 into relief into the local churches there in Australia to rebuild and do the work of God. Amen. Because we're leaving a legacy. Amen. Because of your generosity. Amen. Look what God's done, right? You say, well, so we're doing okay. We're not picking up an offering right now. And so this is what generosity does, amen? Where your treasure is where your heart will be. And where your heart will be is where your treasure will be. I got a phone call once from a member, and I guess I can say this. They said, well, I'm going to say it anyway, and they're not here, so it's okay, right? We can talk about them. Let's do it Christian style, right? Talking about. And they said, Pastor, you said that if we gave, we were going to be rich. And I said, I never said that. I said you were going to be blessed. And you know what blessing is? It's money, but it's also when the washing machine breaks, you have enough money. Amen. And when the car breaks, you can put it in the shop and get it fixed, or you get the tool. That's what blessed is, amen? That when you get sick, amen, it might happen, but it lasts 2 weeks somewhere else. But in your body, it takes 5 days. Give me a good amen. Amen. That's what blessing is, right? And so I had to say, you know, hey, what's going on? Well, we run out of money and we got more month than, you know, than we got than bill or money to live. And I questioned them because they were so bold with me. You know what I discovered? That they weren't living with a budget. They were spending on this and that. And I, you know, everyone needs a budget. You need to live in a budget, and your giving needs to be within that budget. Give me a good amen. Amen. What would it be like if you became a giver for the next, for this year? How would your life would look like? I know you would be blessed. I guarantee you would be blessed. Yes, yes. There are people all around you that will testify of that today. Amen. And so it says, honor God in Proverbs. Honor God. I'm going to honor you, Lord, today. I'm not going to disrespect you today with everything that I own. And give him the first and the... So God gets the first of the year for 21 days. And he gets the first of our week. You blessed. Right now you're blessed because you gave God right now. The first day of the week, Sunday. And Monday through Saturday will be better, right? And you give your finances and God will bless the 90. Amen. 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 The final principle about how things can change is this. It's time to live my life intentionally. Your circumstances right now are not determining where you're at right now. Your disciplines are determining where you're at, where you are right now. It's because I was born on the other side of the tracks and I didn't have an education. I didn't go to college. No, your disciplines are determining where you're at right now. Over and over in Proverbs, it talks about this sluggard. And the sluggard, they describe him this way, that he doesn't wake up on time. He's late to work. He's cheating the time clock. He's not paying his bills on time. And it talks about when they go to harvest, that there's nothing for him to harvest because he didn't have any seed in the ground. He didn't wake up early enough to sow. It's talking about the diligent person in Proverbs always has blessings come their way, right? And so that's what we want, amen? There's a rule of five that we do over and over, and that I was given to years ago. And the rule of five that is instilled into my heart that I try to do every day. And it's simplified enough that I come back to it because it lines me up with center. And one of my life scriptures is draw near to me, draw near to God, and I will draw near to you. And so when I did that, I put, well, God should be first, right? Because if I'm draw near to God, first one, and if I'm doing that, everything else, the rest of the four, they're going to fall into place. How could I not honor God and draw near to God and then I see my wife and want to fight with her? It's not going to work, right? Because there's something unholy. So the second one is draw near to Irma. Because after the kids leave, amen, it's just us. Give me a good amen. Amen. So draw near to God, draw near to Irma. And then we have two children. Draw near right now to Rebecca and Andrew. That's my third. And then my mom is still with us, which I thank God for. But she's the third. Draw near to my mom. I don't see my mom every week. Most of the time I do. But every day I come back, draw near to God, my relationship with God, draw near to Irma. I see her every day, thank God, except she goes over the weekend, you know, go to her mom's or something. I miss her, amen. Still pray for her. Draw near to my children. Andrew's out of the house, out of the nest, so to speak. I pray for my son every moment of the day almost, just like you pray for your children. He's on my mind, heart. That's my girls with me. Amen, Rebecca. Amen. I don't see my mom every week, but I see her most of the week. I pray for my mom every week, every moment. Amen. And then I draw near to my church family. You complete it today. And those are my five. You need your five that you can go back to. And they'll bring you success. They'll bring you success over and over today because you live intentionally to bless and to remember those people that are most important to you. Amen. And it completes you today. Amen. Thank God for my church family. Give me a good amen. Yeah. We love. In Psalms 90, verse 12, the Living Bible translation, teach us to number our days and recognize one day I was 20. But now I'm 50-something. I don't even want to tell you my age. time goes by so quickly, right? And recognize, it says, how few that they are. And help us to spend them as we... Good. Is my investment right in living my life intentionally? Amen. Oh, I don't feel like reading my Bible today. That represents God. It's not a feeling. It's a discipline. And if I go back to reading my Bible every day and praying every day, then I'm going to have success in my life today, right? So the key to it all, I got three simple points here today, and I'm going to let you loose. I'm going to let you loose out there. You're going to go out there and win the world for Christ, amen, because you're going to have a new objective today. Number one is this, I must know my purpose. Somebody say purpose. Purpose. If you don't know the why, then you won't know the way. If you don't know the why, you won't know the way. I know the why now, and I know the way, amen. And so be intentional about living out your God-given purpose. God's given you each a purpose in this room today, amen. There's that young man, and he's going to hear my voice on Facebook Live, and he's going to bed really late, and he's waking up late because of it, and it's costing him his purpose in life, because that's not his purpose. His purpose is to see his grandfather and his father and his mother's example. And to see the example that I'm telling you right now about, so that you're going to bed early and rising early so you're making it to work on time. Amen. Yeah, and we're not judging because maybe we were that person in our 20s. Amen. And look at you now, you're in church, right, everybody? Amen. And that's just wisdom that we have from a holy God. In Psalms 139, you haven't had any fun all day. Why don't we read it together out strong, not out soft. On three, are you ready? One, come on, let them hear you on Facebook Live. Come on three. One, two, three. All the days for me were written before one of them came to be. God completely knew you before you were born. Before you even were a substance, God knew you, and he already had a plan for your life. Isn't that incredible? Amen. How God's thoughts are for you. Amen. The Bible says, and it continues, and it goes, oh, how can I count all the ways and the thoughts, the vast sum of them, Lord, of how much you've thought of me today. That's how much God loves you. Are you hearing me today? When you realize how valuable to God that you are, you will leave that behind that is useless, and you'll say, God, your purpose is for me. You're thinking of me. You love me. You go to sleep thinking about me. You never sleep. You're thinking about me through the night as my pillow, as I'm laying my head on my pillow. God never forgets about you. That's how much he loves you today. When Jeremiah was the prophet, and he had warned them that they were going to go into captivity because they forgot about God. He told them, now that you're in Babylon, in captivity, there's going to be 70 years. You might as well build your houses here. You might as well raise your kids. And I think that would be like bad news. In other words, you're not getting out of jail. Some of you are going to die here because you're already in your 50s, you're already in your 40s. You're going to die here. Your next generation, they may see in 70 years how it is to be free. But right now, during this hard time, God is still going to be with you. The prophet was telling the people of the Lord that way. And God is still with you in the middle of the trial, beloved. I came here to tell you that. I arrived at 7801 Marbot to tell you that God is still going to be with you in that troubled time. In that time that your health isn't what it should be right now, in that time that right now the relationship, right now you're fighting with everything you can, you don't want to do that habit, that God is still going to be with you today. And I love it that Jeremiah told the people, the end is going to be good. You're gonna go through some stuff, but these 21 days will accelerate, I believe, some things that are in captivity so you can do the work of God. And he told them, you know what, I'm thinking of you and this sort of thing. And so I want to dedicate this verse to what I just spoke about a minute ago. I want to dedicate this verse as I read this next verse to our children, to our grandchildren. And I want to say it with all my heart because I'm thinking of my son and daughter. And I'm even thinking of my grandchildren that I can't even see right now, but I'm seeing them with the eyes of faith right now. Would you join me in seeing this miracle about? Because somebody needs a rebellious son to come home right now. And it can happen in the name of Jesus, not because of spoken word of God, because of the declaration right now. Somebody needs a miracle that somebody's battling cancer right now, and the expected end is to give a future and a hope right now. Amen? Would you hold on to this word with me as we declare it out loud, not out soft today? Would we say it with all of our heart right now? For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Speak that right now into your son's life, into your daughter's life right now, into your grandson's life, your granddaughter's life. They're plans to prosper you, not to harm you. Yes. And plans to give you a hope and a future today. Amen. That means a hopeful end. See your children right now at the table of the Lord. Come on, visualize it. You should see that right now. And then there's this moment that's so, let faith rise right now in your heart with me. I'm closing my eyes so I can see God. See that granddaughter serving the Lord with her whole heart. I see you being healed right now. You're cancer free. You're walking in wellness and wholeness. You have a future. You're not addicted anymore. I see you free. I see you serving the Lord. God is here. And everything is possible right now. I see your marriage thriving. Well, we need to move on. Amen. The second thought, I must have a plan. Somebody say, I must have a plan. Cancel what's killing your plan. You cancel it. Well, it's Netflix. I got that password from my friend. I'm not paying anything. Cancel it. I'm not saying maybe that's it. Whatever it is, it's taking your soul is more valuable than what's taking your attention away from God. Your soul is more valuable than that substance that you're doing. Amen. The enemy's greatest ploy is to take your mind off God right now. It's like kind of like that kid that in eighth grade, they were trying to teach him algebra and he wasn't listening. Now he doesn't know algebra. I want you to listen to God's word. It's kind of like that third grader, Nava, amen, that wasn't listening during spelling and now he can't spell very good. Thank God, amen. You speak it into your phone, now you know how to spell it. Give me a good amen. God is speaking right now and he wants to give you the plan right now. Don't be foolish and sit in the back of the class and not pay attention. We're paying attention to God's word. There's a funny story about a little boy named Jack. And he's 8 years old. And dad is driving him to the grocery store. And he said, Daddy, do you believe in the Bermuda Triangle? And he goes, Son, if you're asking me, told Jack, if you're asking me if I believe in the Bermuda Triangle, I believe that there's a place, geographically, the Bermuda Triangle, yes. But if you're asking me if I believe that ships disappear and people get lost and all that stuff, I think that that's nonsense. And he said, well, Daddy, I believe that that's true, that people get lost. And Daddy, I know you want to know why I believe that. And Dad said, yeah, well, tell me why, Jack. He said, well, I was watching Scooby-Doo. In other words, what's your source? Where are you getting your plan and your battle action from? Is it the weekend? Is it the buddies at Cheers? Amen. Is it you in high school being told something by somebody that is not much older than you? Where are you getting the Word of God speaks? And it's speaking to us right now. That's why Proverbs 17:24 says this, an intelligent person, they don't sit in the back of the class, they're listening, right? And they aim at wise action. The Word of God is speaking. But look at the fool. The fool is going to start off in many directions. They're going to hold too much. They're going to take their eyes off wisdom on everything else. They're going to be looking around except where it should be. Give me a good amen. Amen. What would your life look like if you didn't miss a Sunday of church after the end of the year? There were 52 Sundays in a year. We're already at Sunday number 3, right? I think. 4, maybe. If you didn't miss a Sunday, how would your life look like if you didn't miss one Sunday? I can answer the hard ones. It would be better. Much better. Amen? If you're sick, stay at home. Amen? Nobody wants to get the flu. Amen? But watch us on Facebook. But if you're not, be at church, right? Number 3, I must have accountability. Do you ever notice when you were a kid, like Nava, 4843 Castle Path off Mid Crown? When you were a kid, if somebody was in my front yard, they were always my friend. There's my friend. You trusted everybody when you were a kid, right? Because that's the way we lived back then in the whatever, when I fell off my dinosaur, right? But now, you know, you get a little bit older, you go, she ain't my friend. Or he ain't my friend, amen. Don't look at her that way, amen. She's in church with you, amen. When you're accountable, you have a friend. And that friend knows your secrets. That friend says, hey, are you going to show up to the gym? Because if you go work out, I'll work out, right? And that's accountability. Show me the next slide. You're doing a great job, by the way. Amen. This slide is Sir Edmund Hillary of Great Britain. And in 1953, he climbed the highest mountain, Mount Everest, and he was the first man to conquer that mountain. Since then, others have come. And he got all the credit for it. He got all the Time magazine photos and the life pictures, and he was it. But do you know that there was another guy that was with him, and he's the guy next to him, and the guy in the orange jacket, and his name was Tenzin Norgay, and nobody ever hears about his name. We hear of Sir Edmund Hillary, and the reason why we hear of him because he kind of led the expedition, but he needed to go together with somebody in accountability, or he wouldn't have made it. And they asked him, Tenzin Norgay, they said, do you ever get upset that you don't get recognized like Hillary does, and you don't get put in the history books, and you don't get the notoriety that he does? And he said, they don't brag about you. He said, we mountain climbers help each other. Those were his words to that response. They don't brag about you. You don't get bragged on. He says, no, we mountain climbers help each other. What you don't know, the backstory is this. When they were on the way down, Hillary almost fell to his death. And if it hadn't been for Norgay grabbing him and holding on and saving him, we wouldn't have had the story. It would have ended in tragedy today. That's what ice climbers do. They help you go up the journey. They help you. They walk with you during the toughest times when it's slippery. They speak into your life clarity today. If it hadn't been for people that are in this church that speak life, a moment ago at the altar, a mighty man of God said, he knows that I've lost hearing in this ear for years. I listened to too much hard rock. And when I was, no, I didn't. It just went away one day. Amen. And my wife says, when are you going to get that hearing aid? Amen. In the name of Jesus. Amen. No, I'm not. Believe with me. Amen. I hear the things I want to hear, right? Everybody. He laid his hand on my ear, and he said, the Lord told me to keep praying for you as we come to the altar, amen. And I just so received that. He put his hand on my ear, and he prayed for my hearing. And thank God, amen. That's what accountability does. It lets somebody in. This is my weakness. This is where I need God. And you speak into life, and you walk, and life is better together that way. I'll speak big time next week about that today, amen. So it's time, amen. It's time that you know your purpose, the plan that God has for you, and to have accountability today. You say, no, it's too rough. I've tried that. It is. If you go on your own, if you go on your own, if you do it in your own power. But if you do it in the power of God, that's what He's all about. You're going to have the ability. You're going to see life transformation happen in your family today. Amen. In your own life today. Amen. See, faith is, and in honor of Martin Luther King, because it's his day, Monday, faith is really when you don't see the step that you're about to take, like you're wanting to take right now. What if I do let go of that habit? What's going to happen? Well, it's going to be God with you to overcome. You may do it through a program, but God will be with you in that program, right? Amen. And so faith is taking the step even when you don't see the whole what? It's that step like, God, you're with me today. God, you're with me today. God, you're with me. And it's appearing because you're taking the steps of faith. God is into faith. Amen. And the faith of God in your heart today as you take the step. Let's bow and pray. Amen. Father, I thank you. I don't have to figure it out because that's what faith does. And faith is something I cannot see. And I thank you for my brothers and sisters that are in this room. And I pray that your presence right now overflow in the sanctuary, God. Holy Spirit, stay on each person right now as the comforter, as the counselor, as that one that would come alongside of them right now. You're going to be their helper, Lord, their best friend right now. Thank you, God. I ask for wisdom. If you need wisdom in whatever area right now, lift your hands a little bit above your lap. They don't need to be fully raised. Just receive it like you're... I give the people wisdom through your word today. Thank you for your word right now, Lord. We thank you for guidance right now. They take the gift of right now the plan of God, the priority of God in their life. They organize, Jesus, be the center of my life right now. Speak that out loud in the name of Jesus. Jesus, be the center of my life, the king of my heart today. Amen. I ask God right now that you would give each person in this room spiritual authority that in the form of a human God that would show them, go this way, or hold up, or pause, or pray about that, or I'll seek God with you on that, or I'm just like you and I overcame and we can cry together, we can share this. Give them a spiritual authority, whether it be in a small group, God, or somewhere that they're accountable into right now. Thank you, God. Thank you for their purpose right now. God, you complete everything according to your word. As I continue to pray and your heads are bowed and your eyes are closed, you need to just announce today, because you've come to the point that He's not the king of your heart, that you're saying right now, Jesus, forgive me. God, forgive me. I need you to come into my heart today. If that's you today and you're far away from God, I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm going to ask that your hand is slightly lifted. I'll note your hand and I'll lead you in a prayer. I'll pray with you at the altar. You'll pray right in your chair. That will be your altar. If that's you, would you lift your hand high enough that I can see it and note that? God bless you. God bless you, son. God bless the family of the Lord over there. You can put your hands down over here, just making sure. About three people lifted their hand. Are you going to join them? I didn't see your hand. God bless you. I think I saw another hand. Yes. We pray this prayer together as the family of God. Sinners that are saved by grace. You that lifted your hand, you were bold enough. Pray it loud enough that you can hear it in your own ear right now. Heavenly Father. Come on. Heavenly Father. I lift my voice. I lift it to heaven. Forgive me of my sins. Wash me clean, Jesus. Forgive me of my sins, Lord. There are many. But one drop of Jesus, one drop of His blood cleanses all my sins. New life has come to my heart. I have a new beginning. I'll never be the same. I'm following Jesus now. In Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Come on, celebrate the Lord big time. Yeah. Thank God for all the souls. In the name of Jesus. Well, God's into home runs and He's into altar calls, right? God loves home runs and He loves touchdowns, Hail Marys, right at the 2-minute, amen, in the last second they catch it. But God loves altar calls and He loves this altar call, amen. Thank God. If you receive Christ, there's a place that you can check it on the back of the growing connection card. You have it right in front of you. You got to reach for it. Go find one. And let me know that you dedicated your life to Christ. I pray for you every week. You do that. If you have a prayer need in your life today, Irma and I take those. Those are gold to us at our table. We pray. We lay hands. We believe God. We pause and we pray right there. for you in our kitchen table, and we thank God for it today. This morning, we're going to receive communion today, and we're going to receive it as a family. And I'm going to read the scriptures of 1 Corinthians to you, and you'll receive the communion today. Amen. So, back row, we want you to come first. In sequence, you might say, well, I'm not a member of the church. This isn't a church membership thing about Living Faith. This is Kingdom of God. Stop on this one too. Listen, I've really been a bad boy. I've sinned big time. I don't deserve to come up here. That's especially why you should come up here. Because the Bible says, let the weak say I am strong. You know how they say they're strong? Because they come to the table of the Lord. So no one should not come. Amen. This is open to all people. Come now, amen. Let's receive the table of the Lord right now.
every day. It's the only thing that ever really makes me wanna change. I don't wanna abuse your grace. God, I need it every day. Only thing that ever really makes me wanna change.
House and they would break bread and they would celebrate the Lord's Supper, the communion. They would remember Jesus. They would get the word also, but the primary purpose was them coming together and doing this meal together, a small meal, and recognizing the most powerful thing that we can do is have communion with God. They walked in the early church, and we have to think in divine health. Healing is very important if you're not well. But health is better. Give me a good amen. Health is much better than needing healing. So I'd rather be healthy. If I need to go through the healing line, yes. But I would rather have health than need healing. Give me a good amen. And so the principles are of this word today, that the health of God and the wealth of God go into your body because of the curse. That was Jesus already paid the price so you would be healed. So as we take the bread today and ingest the bread and chew the bread, by his stripes we are healed. Amen. We're made well today. We walk in divine health today. And so I'm believing for your health, for ears to be open today, for cancer to be healed. Amen. For limbs to be made straight today in the name of Jesus, for depression to come off of our lives today in the name of Jesus. So in like manner, on the night that he was betrayed, sold out, amen, given up, Jesus was betrayed that night. He broke the bread and he gave thanks. And he said, take and eat my body. And as you chew it, realize Jesus' body was beat for you to receive healing. We take the bread. In like manner, he lifted the cup. God, let the weak say, I am strong today. Not because of who I am, because what Jesus did on the cross. He died for all my sins. And we can approach the throne of God right now in boldness. That's my Father. I'm going to get to my dad right now. We're in submission because he's our Father today. But we come before him boldly now, as it says in Hebrews today. And our sins, they may have been many, but they're washed away right now. Children of God today. Like manner, he lifted the cup and he said, this is my blood that's poured out for you in the remission of your sins today. Your sins are forgiven in the past, the present, and the future even. In the name of Jesus, we take the cup together. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God. My sins are forgiven in the name of Jesus. Amen. 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 Haven't the communion times been so powerful? Amen. One person said amen. Don't miss next week. We're going to get you again for the month of January. I believe we're building upon something that God will be with us. Amen. We're going to receive our tithe and offering today. There are several ways you can do that. If you got recalled to what Carmela did by going to the nation of Peru, you can sow by putting Peru Mission on there. If God touched your heart to do that, we're not going to twist your arm to give today. By the way, if this is your first time coming to Living Faith Church, we do this all the time. I don't want you to give anything because the people of God, the family of God, the sons of God, are just going to take care of the house. Can you get amen? We just can be our guest today, amen? So we're giving today. Would you hold your tithe in your hand and your offering today?